You have to run. You have to realize that, especially as a young man, you're going to run out of unicorn blood. It's going to get old at some point. So you want to create a return on investment of time. So looking at the vehicle you're in is very, very important. I like vehicles that are going to pay me for my hard work I did today, tomorrow. So if you're not in one of those businesses, I think it's really hard. Like being a personal trainer would be really hard.
Justin Waller.
Glad
Thank
to be
you
here.
Very much for coming down.
It took so much for us to get this done, though. Yeah, no. Only had to fly across the world. We clearly had to take your tan, handsome ass off of a beach somewhere.
To be honest, I'm long overdue a trip to the States, but I'm trying to think when it's going to be. I imagine that's where your base is, right?
Yeah, Miami.
Even though I've been keeping check on your social media and you've been literally everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah, man. And keep it moving.
Would you say you're in a phase right now where you're doing this to grow the social media presence?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the thing I talk about this. I had a shoulder surgery here about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And me and Tristan are walking through the desert because we couldn't train, right? So we'd take these long, like 7 mile walks just in the middle of nowhere, just take off. And we're talking about, you know, in the beginning of your career, you make money off what you do. And then you start to gain some knowledge and you make money off what you know. You can manage people, et cetera. And then you start to make money off of who you are. And I don't think I'll make these huge, massive amounts of internet money. But what I do think will happen is people will get to know who I truly am and they'll come work for my companies. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten a lot of good talent just from doing this and people getting to know me better. So for that reason, I'm really, you know, ratcheting down on that third part. And of course, you know, with the war room and the real world and things I do with Andrew, you know, it's very helpful to get out there and spread the word. You know, there's nothing I love more than making money with people I love, especially when we're helping people the way we are. In fact, a lot of times I forget about the money. It's the 100 messages a day you get. So I'm like, dude, I got to do more podcasts. I got to get out there, you know, because maybe I resonate with that kid in Oklahoma a little bit more than the next guy on our team.
Yeah.
So it's been great. I've learned a lot. I did not leave the States a whole lot until about 3 years ago.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
South Louisiana. Yeah. You ever been to Louisiana? No. You ain't missing much, cowboy. So you just keep your handsome ass in Spain. You'll be very disappointed. So where were you just now?
I went to Prague. That was my brother's bachelor party.
I keep hearing about Prague. No, I'm not.
You've never been.
No, dude. People are yelling at me about Prague. Prague, and Warsaw. No, I've never been.
It's good. So, it's good fun. But
magical.
There's a lot of, I would say there's more men than women there. There's lots of groups of men going there.
Really?
For the same reason. It's like a bachelor weekend destination.
Really?
So, that was interesting. But it is a beautiful place. And then after that, I went to Lisbon, Portugal.
Nice.
And then went to London, brother's wedding.
Nice. How old is he?
He's 2 years below me, so he's 30.
Any opinion on that?
Marriage?
Yeah.
A lot of people ask me this, like, okay, so when are you going to settle down? Or when are you going to get married? And I think particularly with a lot of the people who I have been interacting with, especially over the past 6 months, my opinion of marriage has changed. And I think just generally today in society, marriage isn't what it used to be. And I like the idea of, like, I want to have kids. For sure, I want to have kids. But in terms of marriage, the paperwork, getting the government involved, don't really see the point.
Yeah.
You strike me as the type of person who probably won't get married.
It will be the paperwork.
Yeah.
I accept the marriage part, actually. I don't like the throw in the big party just to put it on Facebook. I don't like the gender reveal, all the stuff, like the Facebook stuff you see about marriage. But I believe in having a strong relationship with a woman you care about, trusting her so much you would, you know, bury your children with her and taking care of her completely. And if that's the definition of marriage, I'm about it.
Yeah.
As far as letting Uncle Sam get involved, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all, man. So
do you think you could raise a child in a household where the parents aren't married? Do you think that's going to negatively affect their upbringing?
Plenty of people raise their children in a household where the parents are married, but they're lacking love in the household. Isn't that the thing? Right.
Yeah.
And that would be my argument, you know, is these people, they put marriage in front of love. What the fuck is that for? for a Facebook picture.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I don't get behind. I think you could also argue that I'm going to be on the road a lot, traveling, building a career and all those other things. But for years and years and years, people went off to war and they came back and they were wonderful fathers, you know, and their kids looked up to them and they brought things home and they made everyone's life better, you know? So I want to be the hero in my children's life. I want to be the one that flew them to Marbella, you know, and took them on a sailboat. I want to give them the experiences that they'll never forget, you know, not be the dad that come home, pops open a beer and says, oh, but I got married and I bought you a 3-bedroom house, but your life is shit. And they don't even look up to them. So I want to be the hero to my children and my wife, you know? And, you know, I think that particularly Americans get that wrong, you know? It's like the thing that they talk about, you know, well, don't you want to get married, or why would you want to have kids with multiple women? Well, asshole, you just did it. You got married to this girl. You had kids. You got a divorce because you're trash, or you didn't live up to everything you promised to at church that day when you got married, you know? And then you go marry this other girl. Now there's step-parents involved, you know? Who's to say that maybe I have one or two women I have kids with, but they all look up to me. There's no stepdad involved. And I'm bringing them all over the place, educate them, put them in school in Dubai, get them out of a crime situation where they would have grown up, or get them an education they would have never known otherwise, friends all over the world. You know, they get to see things they would have never seen. So am I really a shit dad?
Yeah.
You know, like some dads are just lazy and they tie themselves to this title of, oh, I did what everybody said I should do. Well, I want to be more than that for my children.
Yeah,
for sure. So I don't think there's a correct answer. But I don't think marriage should ever be put in front of love.
No.
You know? And that's the thing I think the space gets wrong. You know? There's a lot of big boss, I'm going to tell her this. Bro, I believe in love fully and family. And that's what people get wrong about. I think everybody in our group particularly, they think, and I see it all the time in comments, yeah, but these guys live empty lives. None of them ever have families. I have children, asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, plural.
Yeah, you know? Don't have to be like so public about it as well. Like, yeah, it's up to you if you
want.
But
I'm also not scared to.
Yeah.
And to some degree, I feel a little bit of a responsibility for the young men that follow me to know from me, hey, man, it's okay to love a woman, you know? Mm. It's okay to have kids, you know? It's okay to have family. Maybe I like family so much I have three of them. You know, yeah. Maybe I believe in it way more than the normal guy. You know, it's like, what's better than going out, working your ass off and being able to give your little girl everything she wants or build a son that can take the legacy and wants to, you know, look up to you and you're his superhero. I can't think of much better. You know, I love developing young men. I can't imagine how much more fulfilling it might be to me over time as I develop and have boys and et cetera to, you know, really, really build something that has my last name.
Yeah. I'm looking, like, I just imagine what it'd be like to have a little version of me. And when they get to the point where they can actually start to understand what you're saying and they can start running about playing sports, like
watching your podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
well, like, that's the best thing about
doing this.
Yeah. Because you can look back on it. But then they can also look at it when they're growing up.
Yeah.
And they're going to respect you quite a bit, I'd imagine.
I can tell you something. Getting that photo from the mother of the baby in the walker looking up at the screen and you're on it, bro.
Yeah.
It's good. Daddy? You know? So.
How does she, I guess you got your main girl back home. How does she deal with you traveling quite a lot? Is it like, okay.
So you got to turn up, you know? Yeah. I think you got to pick the right cloth, but at the same time, you know, if you care about a girl and she's struggling with something, especially in a situation like the way me and my group run things, then who else does she have to go to but you? How are you not going to turn up for her? How are you not going to stop what you're doing and not be there for her and love her and show that support and talk to her and work through things? You know, if she can't trust you enough to come to you with that, then she's got nowhere else to go. So she can either do that or she can put up a wall against you and try to scorn herself against you. And so I can't emphasize enough is we talk all these tough things. And even me, like I'll say it, like, and I have girlfriends that watch my shit too, you know? And so what? Leave me then, you know? Or just don't be retarded. You know, like, don't call me with any bullshit.
Yeah.
Because one thing I have to give credit for is like no woman in my life at all ever really beefs me about it. They'll just come to me and say, hey, listen, I don't know where else to go with this. This is how I'm feeling. Well, if you're coming to me with that, then I got all the time in the world for you. Mm. You know, because it's about emotional intelligence, a real intellectual relationship. They're also smart enough. And what I find many women that message me or I know or I spend time around, they watch all this red pill content. They watch this shit more than I do. Mm-hmm. They become red pill like watchers.
Yeah.
They know exactly who Myron Gaines is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like they know you, you know? Good luck on Mike's show. Cool. You know, or whatever.
Yeah, I think a lot of women, especially recently, if they're coming into a relationship with me, they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Like they know, and they can't be unrealistic or try and change me. Like I'm very open with who I am and what I'm like and the path and trajectory that I'm on. And I'm like, look, this is where I'm going. This is what I need to do. I need to have my freedom to do this, go there, do that. So you're either going to support me on that journey or you're going to have to go.
You're either going to get on this ride with me or you're not.
Mm.
And a lot of men, especially with beautiful women, they can't say that. So when a girl hears that from you, not only is she faced with the issue of replacing you, which good fucking luck replacing Mike Thurston, mm-hmm. right? She also is faced with, wait a second, he just, in a very emotionally intelligent way, told me the truth, which I can't say for a guy that's lesser than Mike, which is not only going to lie to me because he's scared of me, he's a coward. Mm-hmm. So what is she going to do? You know, and so it's not about beating them up with it. It's about, listen, this is the truth of the world. I care about you. I not only care about you, I'm brave enough to sit you down and tell you and risk you leaving me over the truth. Whereas the next guy is probably not going to be as much of a high achiever as I am. He's not going to work as hard to make things happen in your life. He's not going to be able to give you the same life as me, but he's also going to fucking lie to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so like, where's the honor in that? And so I find that women really appreciate and respect the truth.
Yeah.
Because they already know. Most women
yeah.
that aren't crazy know the truth about all men, whether it be a guy like you or just some guy walking down the street. Most men want the same thing, mm-hmm. if we're being honest. And the part that I just don't want to leave out is the fact that you can love a woman and you can love being a family. Like, bro, there's my family life is just as good as my flexing life.
Yeah.
You know, those two F's, flexing family. You see the Jets and you see it, but this year I have a mission to like let it be known that I have the most incredible family life you could ever have. You know, it's just as good as taking a private jet with Tate. It's incredible.
Have you ever been heartbroken before?
Fuck yeah.
Once, and you know what? Many times?
No, twice. I broke my own heart twice, and I'll tell you why. It's over this exact subject. So in college, I'll use college. I did the same thing in high school. Mm. College, I'm dating Miss Louisiana, right? She's getting ready for Miss America. I'm 22, and my head's spinning, man. I got the volleyball team looking at me. You know, all the cheerleaders, girls are slipping my number in class. And I didn't want to be a piece of shit, and I thought I was broken. So I super, super tried to grab religion, and I'm like praying. I'm like, God, please don't let me do this. Because I was going to, instead of cheating, I was going to just break up with her. But I'm praying to God. I'm like, God, please do not let me make this mistake. Please, please, please. It didn't work. I broke up with her. I graduate from college. It's 2009.
So you broke up with her?
I broke up with her while she's getting ready for Miss America. She's crying on the floor. She was like throwing up and shit on the floor, like in front of me. Mm. Don't do this. Don't do this. And she went on a cruise for being Miss Louisiana, which I was invited to and did not go. And thank God she met a 6'4" South American basketball player, one of the most handsome men I've ever seen in my life. And it was just enough to peel her away from me when I was trying to get her back. And I'm 22. I don't know anything about this. There's no Rolo Tomasi. There's no Tate. There's no Jay Waller. There's no Mike Thurston. There's like, I had no information. Mm-hmm. And I was completely heartbroken. And I graduate college and I'm digging ditches because there's no jobs in 2009. Three billboards of this woman with the Miss Louisiana crown on the way to work. And I'm driving in my beat up pickup truck. And I'm just like, fuck my life. I've never been so low. It was horrible because I thought I was going to get a college degree and have a job, you know, have a good job. Didn't. The girl I loved, I broke up with her because I wanted to be a good guy because I thought that was what I was. And I had turned to religion and failed all in the same, let's say, 6 months. Oh, it was absolutely horrible, bro. And, you know.
But how did you, how did you use that? Did you do something productive with that pain or you just literally lost and didn't know what to do?
Well, you take it on the chin, right? But you always keep fighting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I was out on my feet a bit, but I stayed training. I stayed working out. I had to get rid of some football weight. I played at 245. So I had to get, you know, I lost 30 pounds, you know, got down to 215. I had been working on that anyway. And that job ended, got laid off, went to Louisiana, started waiting tables at Texas Day Brazil, which sucked because her
Texas Day Brazil, the
the Churrascaria in Baton Rouge. in Perkins Row. So anybody from Baton Rouge would know that. I'm all the way in Dubai talking about Perkins Row and Baton Rouge. But yeah, so I waited tables at Texas Day Brazil. And in the daytime, I'd go, you know, apply for jobs and stuff like that. I started my company soon after, told the story a million times. But funny enough, about 5 years go by, she married this guy, she calls. And then, like, you know, 6 months would go by, she'd call again. Then 3 months, then it started getting slow. Gap started getting quiet, you know, smaller. And
were you replying?
I did reply.
Just like
the first time it happened, it was a text and my stomach dropped because she was the one that got away from me, right? Mm-hmm. Because not because it's not like I didn't move on, but it was this climactic part of my life. She was on the big stage. I went to Vegas, watched her at Miss America. I thought I got her back. Didn't, you know, it was like this big ordeal, right? But when she called back, you know, I remember my stomach dropped. I know where I was. Like, it was important to me at this time. I was probably 25, 26, something like that. And spoke, whatever. But I knew she was married. And then she ended up actually lying to me and said that she got separated and moved back down with her family. And I started seeing her regularly. And, you know, obviously we were sleeping together again. Found out she was still married. And they were separated, but they were, you know. Mm. You got to watch that, man. I've actually had that happen to me twice. And now I ask for full on, hey, you have to send me paperwork. Because I actually just recently had that happen to me about 2 years ago. And
well, so before you get into anything, more than one occasion with someone, you're like, sorry, show
something. If I know they were married, yeah.
Okay.
Because I've been lied to.
Yeah.
And there's no telling the dude that, you know, hey, bro, sorry, but she lied to me. Bullshit. All right, whatever, G. You know, whatever. Yeah. You know where I am, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, so that happened and, you know, I just wasn't in love with her. She was a different girl. And what it was is, and this happens, right? Girl hits her peak at 22. You're 27, 28. You're about to hit your peak. The dynamic had changed and there wasn't much I could do about that. Me and Tristan did a video called Gentleman Game. It's probably one of my highest viewed videos. I think it's got right at a million views right now. And we talk about like.
Is that where you stood on the balcony and you're just talking to each other?
Yeah, it's in Dubai. Yeah. It's actually in Dubai. It has the mosque in the background.
Yeah.
So we talked about the George Strait video, Still Meet Make Cheyenne, the song. And it's so true because what I really did was just a slow grind over 6-7 years, you know, to put myself in a position where in this case it would have been 4 to 5 years before I heard from her the first time. But by the time she really, really wanted me, another year or so had gone by, probably 28-ish. My business was clicking. We're doing over 7 figures. We're doing good. You know, I still had the ups and downs in the business, but it was to a place where I was doing quite well for myself at a young age. And I just didn't want her the same way. And she didn't take that very well. And even to this day, she doesn't take it very well. Mm. She'll call me now. Quit saying my name. You know, and I translate and I'll just say like, I love you. I miss you. I hope you're well. You know, fuck you. You don't love me. I'm like, well, I do love her.
Well, you're in a position now where I would imagine the options it's unlimited.
Yeah. I would imagine I know about what your inbox looks like, Mike. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of us in the space kind of understand each other in a way that maybe some other people can't. Mm. You know, yeah, I have unlimited options, just like you do. You know, like if you were to tell me that you didn't have options, I would call you a liar to your face. You know what I'm saying? You know,
have you ever found that to be a distraction for you whilst you're on your mission, you're on your purpose?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just get shit done.
Yeah, I just said on Pearl the other day, if you know how like we have like that sexual urge in us, bro, I'd stroke a check for $1 million right now to cut that off.
Yeah.
$1 million, bro. I'd have a 10x net worth at least. And
I was speaking to Chris Williamson about this. I really wanted to know why it is that we desire the things that we desire and if there's any way to change that. And I've noticed with myself, particularly over the past 5 years, some of my desires have changed. Like in my late 20s, I just wanted to explore. I wanted to travel. I wanted to party. I wanted to have fun. It's changed now. Like I'm more about business. I'm more about work, growth, self-development, and so on. But the women aspect and the desires doesn't really seem to be going away.
It won't, bro. And that's the thing. I'm going to tell you, there was a time where I really thought I was broken. Like I had this self-hate. Like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I break up with a girl at 18 months, almost like clockwork. Because I try to be a good boy and do all that. And then I started to realize, you know what? This is just male nature. We talk about female nature all the time. Mm-hmm. The part that I have a problem with and the part that I try to do my best to be calm and explain, especially young women on some of these shows, is that, listen, no, I don't think it's fair, but I don't think female nature is fair either. But male nature is naturally this way. I don't think I'm broken. Like I came to realize that I wasn't. Like there wasn't anything wrong with me. It was just naturally how I was going to be and how every man is. Some men can act on it. Some men can't. But why not tell the truth and then not discard the fact that you can love somebody? You can have true feelings for someone. You can show them true care. You can also just tell the fucking truth. And I found that ever since I made that change in my life, I won't say that I'm shocked, but I think the outside world would be shocked that if you tell 10 women that 9 of them stay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if you do it with care. Hey, listen, this is how it's going to be. I know it sucks. Honestly, I'd cut it off if I could. I've tried and it's not going to. This is how men are. Here's some channels you can watch to prove it to you. And
it's amazing how quick some women would listen to that and be like, oh, he's a dirtbag.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no, you literally don't understand. You
don't understand. Like,
yeah. And we're not choosing to do this.
Yes. Yeah. Like, oh, well, you have all this discipline in other areas, but here's a problem with that. I see. And this is why I think a lot of divorce kind of happens too, or a lot of men slip. A lot of men trade sexual exclusivity for like a long-term partnership with a woman, you know, especially guys that don't have a lot of abundance of choice. They're like, I'll marry this girl. What happens is the thing that drives you to be ambitious is women. Men all over the world every day, no man, all men, invent, build, maintain society in pursuit of women. So once you take that availability away from him, that hunting availability, like the reward, the true primal reward, which is sex, you kind of die inside as a man.
No, you can see that. You can see some guys who've been in a relationship or are married for years. They don't have that glow. They don't have that spark.
You took it from them.
Yeah.
You took it from them. And I know it sounds super fucked up, right? Mm. And people get angry. But it's really, really true. They call it getting comfortable. I don't think it's getting comfortable. I don't think it's getting comfortable at all. You're taking the driving force out of him. You've ever seen, they've done these studies where they'll give male chimpanzees bananas. The first thing they do is take those bananas and give them to the females and then they have sex with the female. Like, it's just in us. Mm. And a lot of times you'll see these men and they've done everything right. You take the drive away from them, they start to slip, and then their wife is cheating on them with the dude that still's got the drive in them. And you call her a tramp and you call him lazy. And really, they're not understanding the mechanics of men and women. Mm-hmm. And so we're in this social experiment, or we have been for what, 100, 150 years, this whole get married thing. I think it's beautiful to have a wife and a family. I just don't know that it's possible to ask for a man to keep that drive inside of him. You know,
especially the more successful he becomes, I think.
Bro, the higher he gets up it,
yeah,
the harder it is. You know, at 32, you can still get an 18-year-old. At 37, I can still get an 18-year-old girl. And they'll approach me, and I know they approach you. I've seen your Instagram, G. I might inbox you, G. but the point is, it's like, you do all this work to build yourself up, and you work and work and work, and you get your ass whipped, and you know, you almost go bankrupt, and then you finally get it, and then you finally get it clicking. And Tate talks about this. You climb the mountain, they're going to give you one piece of candy. You want the whole fucking store.
Yeah.
And it's just not going away. And the only way I can explain it to women where they really get it is if I could pay to get rid of it, I absolutely would do it. Have you ever seen the movie Shallow Hal?
Yeah. And he falls in love with the
big girl.
Yeah.
Bro.
But he sees her as...
I would take that deal in a second.
Yeah.
She could be 800 pounds, bro. I just, because I wouldn't know any different, mm-hmm. right? And it would just be boom, 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 work.
It's like you'd want that honeymoon period of relationship to just last forever.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't. But you know what I think can make a relationship last forever is truth. Mm-hmm. A man being out on his mission all the time, enjoying missing someone.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, it's almost like a lot of relationships, they get diluted. Let's say, and I'm not saying this is true, but I'm just going to use it for example. Let's say there's only, I don't know, 10 years of time in a relationship, actual time with person. If you're always out on a mission, missing each other, you can spread that time over 60 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been gone for a month. I can't wait to go home, bro. Yeah. Can't wait.
I always say this to guys when they fall in love or whatever it might be, they start a relationship and they're so quick to move in with their partner. And I'm like, bro.
And they're best friends.
Yeah, I'm like, don't do that.
It's all day long. They're together all day long.
Yeah.
It's going to get old.
I mean,
they're both amazing.
There's some couples, I think, that can do that. Because what I've noticed is there's some women when they're in a relationship, they want to be with a guy where they can do everything together. Go to the gym, work out, relax, cook, whatever it might be. I realize I'm not that guy. Like I like the independence. So my chances of being in a successful relationship will depend upon the person I'm with. And that other person also has to be kind of independent and understanding that, you know, I like time to myself and I'm doing my thing. And it helps if they like to do their own thing as well.
Or in addition, maybe just be behind your mission.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's nothing like somebody that just wants to be a cheerleader. And like really believes in you and says, Mike, you're going to kill it. Mm-hmm. You know,
my biggest problem I've found is anytime I'm doing some sort of a collaboration with a girl or a hot girl. So if that's a gym girl or even if I'm doing a podcast, some of them would be like, oh yeah, it's okay. But I know it's eating away at them.
But they need that.
Mm.
They need that. Rolo calls that dread.
Dread.
Yeah. Passive dread. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but you could call that evil, but what if that's the thing that makes her appreciate you more and keeps the relationship going?
Yeah.
What if she knows that you can get any woman you want? You know, isn't that going to make her reach for you? There's a reason they have that old saying, she loves me not, right? Mm. And it's so interesting too, because I always end up getting on this subject because it was probably one of the harder challenges in my adult life, but I also just get asked about it a lot. Really? Like all my channel is about business and like, you know, trying to keep yourself on the right path and make sure you stay fit, all these other things. But this is a really important subject because if you get your heart broken, it's really, really hard to perform.
I did when I was 26.
Tell me about it.
So I was in a long distance relationship with this girl from Sweden and I'd never felt anything like it before. Like I was fully in love. It was like being on a drug.
Yeah.
But gradually over time, that the distance was becoming more of a problem. More so for her because she wanted to be with her partner more often. Like I could go a month without seeing her or even 2 months. It would suck, but I could do that. And then eventually it got to the point where she couldn't handle it anymore and she sent me a message saying that she'd basically start speaking to someone else. And that like cut me deep because I was trying to do everything to keep the relationship working. I was even contemplating moving to Sweden to make it work.
Right.
But I felt like I'd kind of lost my best friend. I'd lost this person who, this was the only person I'd ever been in love with, someone who I'd actually thought about having kids with and maybe right. even marrying. And for her to just give it up so easily and just be like, I don't know, like I'm speaking to somebody else. Like there was about a 2 month period where I was lost. I was confused with that. Never cheated on her. Like I was super loyal. I didn't really have any friends in London. I just moved down to London. So I felt like I was fully on my own.
Alone. Yeah.
But it was one of the best things that happened to me because all of a sudden I realized, right, okay, all these invitations that I was saying no to, social events, parties and so on, because I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I'd be tempted. I was now free to do whatever I wanted. So then I was like, well, I don't need to be here. I'm going to go travel. I'm going to go meet up with some people.
Right.
So that year, I think it was 2018, that's when I started to fully come out of my shell. I started getting smoother with the ladies. I traveled a lot, saw a lot, and it was amazing. And in a way, I think as bad as it sounds, like I turned quite cold after that, but I liked that.
It's because necessary.
I don't like the idea of getting too emotionally involved with someone, because if you do catch feelings for someone, a lot will change. Like all of a sudden you stray off your path. You start getting soft, you start getting weak, too available, too nice. And then if that does happen, you actually end up pushing that girl away that you really like.
Yeah, I think there's, well, again, it kind of goes back to if she's the only source to give attention to, you know, you're always going to have your favorite, right? Your main chick, right? Mm. The one you actually love the most. You're always going to have that. You might even have a second favorite that you give more attention to than 3, 4, or 5. I hate to say it this way.
Yeah.
But if you distribute it in that way, it still becomes he loves me not. And this is about keeping the relationship going, right? Especially if you care about her. I'm sure there's feminists that'll watch this and be pissed at me for what I'm saying. But it's true. It's completely true. And, you know, I'd be interested to know, has she called you back yet?
Oh, the moment I started leveling up, when she saw me traveling, she saw me, the following was going up, the income was going up. It was almost every day she would send me a message.
Yep.
Almost every day. That went on for about 2 years.
Yeah. Good.
But I was just like,
nice. Now you live in her dreams, bro.
Yeah.
Yep. And I can tell you, because I have gotten this phone call from mine, I live in her dreams. And good. Mm. Good, man.
I said it's to anyone that goes and has a horrible breakup and is feeling terrible. Like the best thing for you to do is just to level up. It's only a matter of time before you'll get a message back.
Absolutely. Especially if you don't contact them.
Yeah.
Because they will watch you.
Yeah.
Because they want to know. I think women place bets on men. Mm-hmm. And so when she pulled her bet off of you, she's going to look back just because FOMO, just how women are, right? She's like, well, did I make the right decision or not? Because this guy didn't work out. He wasn't what he said he was. And now this guy's going like this. Fuck. Let me see if I can jump back on that. You know? And a lot of times, I've never had an experience where I've had something like that happen, or like what happened with me is probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I've not had a girl like go another direction on me, but by the time they loop back to you, you're often not interested, you know, because you've kind of created that gap between you, and because she's also aging with you a lot of the time. So you're getting a 32-year-old version of her, let's say, rather than, you know, the 24-year-old version of her. And you're at a completely different, you're now at your prime. Y'all have switched in the power dynamic, but that's based off a lot of hard work. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
You know, I know that was certainly the case for me, and I completely agree with you. You nailed it. Any young man that feels like it's all bro, take that energy and go put it into the man that you become. And it will not, it might be a long time-wise years, but it won't seem like a long time and you'll get that phone call.
Yeah,
for sure.
It will suck, but it's only temporary.
Right.
And better things will come after that. I just say to people, look, that chapter of your life is finished. Close the door. You start on a new one.
1,000%. I find that I get really sober when I've had my heart broken. Like some people drink, bro, I trained. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like you just want to sit in it and just like feel it, because it really is. Honestly, I think it's outside of pure ambition. I think heartbreak can save a guy's life. Mm-hmm. You know, get him really on the right track. If he puts it in the right frame, if he's like, okay, I got broken up with, but if I was this kind of guy, I wouldn't have got broken up with, you know? And then they use it and it just lights that fire and it's just boom, rocket ship. That's what I did. It clearly seems that's what you did. I do think that's the most healthy route, mm-hmm. because you are going to have so much more choice and option. And you change your life in 8 months, a year and a half, maybe. And so now you have a bunch of other options when it comes to women. You've forgotten about this girl after a year and a half, 2 years, more than likely. And then she calls you after you've made this huge progress. Well, it's super easy not to do it, you know? So
do you think guys in their late teens, early 20s should just prioritize work, building their career before prioritizing relationships?
1,000%. I always say this. It's like fitness first, because fitness is going to make business so much easier. Mm-hmm. If you walk in a room and you're in shape, people respect that. You know, they automatically respect that. And you're creating a healthy body, which is going to give you a healthy mind, you know, so you're going to be sharper mentally. So I put fitness in front of business all day. Because why do business if you're not in good shape? You know, when you could have a machine that's like really spitting out, you know, productive thoughts and, you know, actions, and you can keep it, you're locked in, you know, you're turned on. So fitness first, business and fitness, you do at the same time. And the women thing, what I always say is you should be studying and understanding how women work, like female nature, not in spite of them, but like, so you can understand them. And then as girls see you kind of projecting up, especially with your fitness and you're working on business, they tell you're not a bum, you're not a video game guy, you're not, you know, getting drunk all the time, like you're on a mission, they just jump right in front of you and just run them over. Mm-hmm. You know, like I always absorbed women in my 20s. I wasn't out doing pickup, you know. In fact, I've never really learned pickup.
No, neither have I.
Like, I don't think I have good game. I think I have good absorption signals. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to be in shape. I'm going to be working my ass off. I'm going to try to, you know, send the right signals with the things that I'm doing. And women come to your inbox. Mm-hmm. You know, I like, if you were to like put me up against like one of the guys that like teach a texting course, he like texting alone with the same profile picture, they'd kill me. They'd kill me. But it's men signal a lot. You know, like why did Indians have feathers? So they told the women who could hunt. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the teepee, this one. Come to this one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why do guys drive Lambos when they could have a Honda Accord? You know, why do I drive a G-Wagon? It's a signal. And so we do it with muscles. We do it with lifestyle. I mean, it's all over our Instagrams, watches, all these different things. There's signals. And I think that absorbing women is the most healthy way to do it. And if I were ever to approach a woman, it's nothing more than, you know, if it's in person, I might just say, hey, I noticed you. I would have been bothered if I would have been, you know, too scared to come speak. Like I've said that on multiple podcasts. It's literally what I would say. Or it'd be small talk, mm-hmm. you know. And if it's on Instagram, you know, they like a couple of your pictures, you know, hey, you're pretty, Miami, Dubai, whatever. It's not anything slick.
Yeah, it's just it's like, really okay, the indication of interest is there. And then, okay, let's go meet up.
Exactly.
Let's go because, for a walk. It's something simple.
Exactly. And you know what's crazy about that is if they're interested in you, I don't really think it matters what you say.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, hey, I bet I could send 100 messages today. Say, hey, dickhead, you're cute. They would respond. They'd be like, yeah. Well, you're an asshole. Ha, 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 ha. Like, so it's not that I'm shitting on game. Mm-hmm. It's just that I don't think it is quite as important as becoming that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you get better with I imagine you probably got better with experience as opposed to being there and studying relationships and women and how they work and reading and listening to podcasts?
I got really good at understanding frame and female nature. And that helped me see through the smoke of like what a woman might say. You know, a woman might say one thing, but I'm paying attention to what she does. Like if I have a woman, let's say like that ex from college, screaming and sending me text messages that are so long I can't even read them without swiping in my phone. All that translates to me is I miss you. Attention, 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 right? And so understanding female nature and how they're actually wired and how they can say one thing and do the other and how what happens if you tell them the truth, even if they don't like it. And even if they want to take a break from you for a week and they call you back. Those are the things that I think have really helped me. So, you know, I think Rolo's books are pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things that I've heard Andrew say, Tate, that I think are really powerful, especially around attention being such a high level currency with a woman. I do believe that the higher you get as a male, the more potent your time is. So the higher you get up the hierarchy of, you know, the ideal situation for a male, the less time you actually have to give. Mm-hmm. And they're okay with it. Mostly because they know you're working your ass off doing something that somebody else isn't. So they look up to you and they admire that about you.
Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world, work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle? It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode. I wanted to ask you how, speaking of time, how are you able, you're running three companies at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So how are you doing? You're on this mission now doing these podcasts. You did one earlier, I think, with Tam.
Yeah, I did. So yeah, yeah. We're doing like three a day.
Yeah, so you're doing this, but at the same time, you've obviously got the businesses to take care of as well. How are you managing to do that?
Yeah, so each business has...
Actually, so you've got one construction.
Construction.
Yeah.
Then real estate. In fact, on the way over here, I took a call. We sent a purchase agreement over. Just bought a big mobile home park. So another 60 units back home. I'm excited about it. And it looks like we're getting another one right after it, man. I'm super excited about the real estate. But each business.
What's the third one? Real estate, construction.
And then this. Everything we do online, which feed the other two in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
Because it brings talent. It brings investors. It brings people on the teams. It really complements one another.
Would you say it's essential for anyone, regardless of what field they're in, to have some sort of a social media presence?
Yes. And the reason I believe that is because if you look at a company, the company's core values should be a reflection of the individual values of the owner, right? Because if they're not, then you're going to be hiring people that don't align with you. You know how they say online, people need to know, like, and trust you? What's wrong with that in real business?
Yeah.
You know, so I bring people into my businesses that already align with me. And it's easy to do this. Like vetting women. Women will watch this podcast and message me, right? They're already vetted. They know my opinion on the subject. I don't even have to have the conversation with them anymore. Yeah. Well, the same thing for anybody that wants to work for me. They're like, okay, like, he's about truth. You know, he's obviously Republican or conservative. You know, he's about capitalism. He's also about loving people fully, you know, regardless of their ethnicity or their skin color or their sexual preference. Like, you could be gay. I don't give a fuck. Dude, I got some good friends that are gay. I don't give a fuck. Mm. I don't care. I'd take a gay employee all day. Just don't be a dickhead. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do that. Don't feel like you're special because of it. And like, please come work for me. I love you. You know, in fact, just today I was messaging a banker friend of mine. He really helped me in my career in the beginning. His name's Grant. Grant, I love you, bro. He's like, dude's gay. You know, it's funny. He makes like gut jokes. He's like, you look handsome. I'm like, shut up, bro. I'm going to punch you. Ha ha ha. You know, like it's, you know. And so back to what I was saying, it's like, if the employees know your core values and what you're really about. Like, I'm really big on intention. That's our number one core value. Intent is everything. Like, give a fuck. It's huge. Because if we have systems and you care and you follow the playbook, then the business can run. And then I get daily reports every day. And then I have one person over each business. So they say that an individual can really only manage about 5 or 6 people at once. So I have a little under 200 people that work for me right now. I talk to 3 people to manage those 200. But I get a report every day. P&L, money spent today, AR, profit year to date. Profit year to date on this day last year. The KPIs, I know where every foreman is on every job in every state, whether they're behind or before. And it's a report for this business. I know what our occupancy is on the properties. I know how many people are late on rent. You know, all the property management stuff for the properties. With Thomas, who's here right now, I know how many war rooms or real worlds or how many wins people are having. I'm talking to the professors in the real world every day, finding out, hey, how much are these kids making? You know, anybody pay their parents' mortgage off yet? You know, like that kind of stuff, man, because there's an exercise that we do in each business. I would call it the island test. So if you're Mike Thurston and you're always on a fucking island doing photo shoots, right? And you're drinking your mojito with no alcohol in it or whatever you're drinking. And somebody brings you a piece of paper and it has between 5 and 15 things you can look at without having any contact from the outside world. What are those 5 to 15 things for you to know the business is good and you can stay another week? And so I get that report from all 3 businesses every day. Mm-hmm. And I know. And I'm looking down that list and I'm like, is there anything I don't like? Now, the difference is if there's something I don't like, I can make a phone call and find out what it is. How many crews are on the road right now? How many guys are working? Are they in front of the schedule? Are we good? What's the occupancy on the apartment buildings here, here, and here? What is this charge for $4,000 in Ohio? Why? You know, oh, the forklift broke down. Okay, cool. Click. You know, whatever it is. And so that is really what it takes for me to, you know, be able to stay on the island. If you stay on this mission, do 3 podcasts a day in Dubai, do the London, do the Spain, and then I'm going straight to LA after this to do 3 or 4 more. That's what helps me there.
How many hours a day does that take up, would you say? Just reading the reports,
not many.
Messaging the 3?
Yeah, not much. Mm. Not much. First of all, that business is 13 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, I have... all my key staff is substantially older than me, probably 6, 7 years older than me. My main staff could be my parents. They're like at that age. Mm-hmm.
What's the situation with you in the war room? I know obviously that was created by
Andrew. Yes, yeah. Andrew. Yeah.
And Jules, tutorial yep. shooter, is he running it? Because I know what it is. I know how it works, but I don't know the dynamic of kind of who's
yeah. So
in
Andrew,
doing
Andrew
what.
Runs a war room. So let's just treat it like Andrew's not going through what he's going through right now. Mm-hmm. Andrew runs a war room, and we're all in there. There's a group of us that push it that have been approved to help. Like, it's, look at it like NATO. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our different brands, but collectively, you know, like I was saying earlier, some guy in Oklahoma might resonate more with me. When I'm wearing my boots, driving my truck, he's like, okay, I get it. You know, whereas the next guy might look up to a shooter and be like, man, that's the coolest dude on the planet. He's James Bond in real life. Mm-hmm. And so he might come in through shooter. And so we have all our different guys. And
it's literally like the Avengers.
Yeah, it is the Avengers in a lot of ways. And so Luke Barnett's one of those guys. Yeah. Shooter's one of those guys. And then we all have our different roles. Mm-hmm. You know, shooter has a set of skills that are just world class. Yeah,
he's a very capable man.
Bro, shooter's a shit, man. I actually spent yesterday with shooter. He's driving around in his Ferrari. He just got it redone. Yeah. It's sick. He's got like alligator skin on the inside. It's bad boy. So we went to this car unveiling show, and then we went and had dinner with a war room guy, and then the guy we all buy our watches from, Shahib. Great people, great people.
It's cool because I went to, I think it was the latest event they did where they had the weekend here.
Penetrating the Elite.
Jules invited me to the yacht day.
Yeah.
So I had opportunity to meet all the guys there, and it was really cool. Like, I fully understand now why the guys sign up to it and why they get involved, because I think one of the problems you have as a guy when you start to become successful and you've done this kind of by yourself, it becomes much harder for you to find other guys in a similar situation to you. You know, whether you want to be friends with them or you just want to network with them, it's difficult. And it's something which I didn't really do until maybe last year when I really started focusing on building my network. So you can, you know, do it the slow way and try and just, you know, go here, go there, and just, you know, roll the dice and hope that if you go to this event, you might meet someone. Or you go to an Aurum event and you're guaranteed to find a load of guys who are in exactly the same situation as you. You're
absolutely guaranteed. And that's the whole point, right? Is I was in groups for a long time. I did Vistage and a lot of these B2B groups, B&I groups. Just a bunch of fucking nerds, man. Yeah. The one thing the War Room is really good about is like, if a guy joins a War Room, there's always going to be small groups inside of a group. I'm not saying that doesn't exist in the War Room, you know, but you're going to find your guys in the War Room, you know. It's like Sterling. It's like Jewel, Tristan, you know, Andrew, for me. But there's also guys that nobody knows that I really click with and I'll hang out with everywhere. In fact, I did How to Beast the other day. Yeah, David's awesome. So is his wife. Uh-huh. You know, they're amazing to be around. We spent most of the day with them, but Sterling and another War Room guy, Julian, we all went on this hike. I hang out with Julian any chance I get. Any country I'm in, he's in, I want to see him. You know, nobody knows who he is, but he's fucking awesome, solid. And the War Room is full of people like that, full of it. Mm-hmm. We did this mountain hike thing, and then we worked our way down to this reservoir, went swimming. We weren't supposed to. We found our way past there's some fences around it. But it was some of the most wholesome fun I've had in a long time. It's like, there's that kind of guy, but there's also the guy that can, you know, help you, you know, maybe find a way to get a second passport or knows a guy in another town that can help you get a shipping deal you might need on some product to get to America for a construction job or a business. All by the book, by the way. One thing that I think people want to believe about the War Room is they think it's like shady. It's the most ethical. Dude, you want to get kicked out of the War Room fast? Say something illegal in the halls. They will cut you out of the War Room so fast. I've seen it happen. Some guy not long ago said something that was even kind of, it was just mildly shady, boom, cut him immediately. And he had signed up through me. And he's like, Justin, I'm really sorry I messed up. Is there anything you do? And I said, bro, I wish there was. Yeah. I'm sorry. Let me send you your money back. You know?
Because I guess you gotta keep it clean.
You got to, man.
The feds will be checking in on that.
Oh, bro. It's like, it's not even worth it. I always say that there's enough room to play in the middle of the court that you never have to play out of bounds. Mm. In the War Room is right in the middle of the court. We're not even close to out of bounds, you know? And now people would love to believe that. They'd love to believe that, especially with the pressure and the fire that Andrew's under. But I can tell you right now, Andrew won't put up with it. And War Room leadership will not put up with it. The War Room ran just as well with Andrew gone. And that's because there's a lot of people that believe in Andrew. And it's no diss on Andrew. I think it's a testament to his leadership, man. Mm. We love Andrew. We got his back completely. You know, and I would say it even ran a little bit tighter, you know, because of what was going on. Yeah, so there was even less room.
Everyone was kind of feeling a little bit attacked.
Yeah. So, man, the War Room's an incredible place. And I'm sure in time is like you hang out with Sterling Moore or me and you cross paths, there'll be War Room guys around. And it's just easy. You can almost tell a War Room guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's just going to have a certain way about him, particularly anyone that, you know, we're hanging around because he's probably going to be closer to our age, et cetera. And the young guys run together and they come up together. And I think brotherhood's one of the things that I've enjoyed most of my life when I've had it.
Oh, you need it. Like I realize when I look back, the times when I've felt like something is missing or I felt a little bit unhappy is because I've been so involved with spending all my time with my girl that I didn't have any time to spend with the guys.
Right.
And you need guy time. Like you need to be surrounded by.
Need the guy time. Yeah.
Yeah. You need guy time. Otherwise it's just, you're going to feel like something is missing and you need capable guys who you can share ideas with and talk to. And you also need some guys just to give you a bit of shit every now and then, keep you grounded.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you completely. And I think you really nailed it on the, ideas and things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking they need to hang out with guys and go do fantasy football and shit like that. You will never see that in the war room, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't want that in my life, because if I'm a true friend of you, I want to talk about your business. I want to talk about us making money. Like, because I want to see you be a hero for your wife, your family, your kids. You know, I want to see you absolutely dominated. If not, I'm not really a good friend, am I? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, come with me and have this guiltless pleasure. Let's get shit-faced and see if we can bet on a football game we shouldn't be watching. Man, fuck that. I have no interest in that at all.
Do you have any friends who are kind of not leveled up the same way you did?
No. I won't allow them in my life. For what?
Yeah.
Because if we're going to become the average, I like being at least around guys that are at close to where I am, you know, or I feel like there's some value, you know.
What if it was a childhood best friend that you grew up with in your teenage years?
Still? I love you to death, bro. We ain't hanging out.
Yeah.
You know? And look, I just moved in the nice, like when I go back to Louisiana, right? Mm-hmm. I moved in the nicest neighborhood in my hometown. I have a bunch of old football and baseball teammates. But funny enough, all those guys are absolute winners. I'm so proud of every one of them. Mm. It's the most wholesome thing. Like, they'll bring their kids over. The kids are playing basketball, you know, or in my pool, or we're in the fire pit, you know. But also, I've been, like, one particular one that I'm thinking about right now, he's my Edward Jones guy. I've been giving him $500 a month, putting in the market since I was, like, 24. So we can talk about T-bills. We can talk about whatever. Over whiskey, mm-hmm. you know. Or he, like, one of his kids are in my lap, you know, and we're, you know, I'm bouncing them on my knee and like playing with them or tickling them or throwing them in the pool or whatever. Another one that comes over, man, he'll do surveys on real estate deals for me. So we'll talk about surveying and like, where are you shooting your benchmark? Like, where, you know, all these different things about either construction or land development or land deals, all these different things. And no, I don't have friends in my life that aren't going to make me feel like I'm growing. Because I do think that's a fair exchange. At least help me feel like mm-hmm. I'm growing, you know. Because if you're not growing, you're dying, and your gut, your soul knows.
Oh yeah, I had that experience in, I think it was the summer of 2021. Yeah. I spent the whole summer in Ibiza.
Yeah, bro.
You know what happens there.
Yeah,
and it was a point in my life where I was doing well for myself, and things were just running; they were ticking along. So regardless of what I was doing, the money was coming in, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna have some fun, enjoy yep. myself. And it was very enjoyable, but then it got very repetitive, very boring. And then I felt like, what the hell's going on? Why am I not?
Were you drinking also?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. But then I realized the thing that was eating me up the most was that I wasn't growing. You know, I wasn't learning anything. I wasn't meeting any new people, any interesting people, but I wasn't even putting out any content. And that was like my thing.
Right.
Like, I'm a content creator who's not even putting out any content. Right. Like, what am I doing with my life?
It's hard. One of the biggest challenges, I've even faced this challenge. What do you do when you don't have to work? Mm. You die inside a lot. Like, yeah. It's not an easy thing. It sounds cool. It ain't fucking cool. Yeah. Like, it makes you miss being broke. There's parts of me, man, and this has been in the past, not recently. Dude, I'm doing 3 podcasts a day right now. But there's been times, maybe a couple years ago, maybe when I first joined the war room, and I'm just doing whatever the fuck, and like you say, it's like, didn't really matter, because whatever I did, I was still just looking at the bank account every day, and it was just going up and up and up and up, because I'd built a machine. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel good, you know what I mean? Like, it was fun, but it was also haunting me.
Yeah.
Because, and I even said this to a young man, there's a young war room guy, he looked up to me a lot. I let him live in my house for free for a little while, and I said, the man that you see right now is a very unrealistic expectation of what it took for me to get in this position. And I hate that you see it. You know what I'm saying? Don't believe this is what it looks like. Mm. You know? And I told him that, and he kind of looked at me funny. I'm like, no, I really, really mean it. What it took for me to get in the position to be able to do what I'm doing is not this work. What you see from me is not what it took to get here.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of people, they see the same thing when they see me. They're just like, oh, you're always at the beach.
Yeah.
You're always traveling.
Yeah.
You're always doing this. I'm like, yeah, but you don't see what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
I could show you it, but you get bored pretty quick.
Yeah. It doesn't sell either, does it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of messed up thing about social media in general. It's like, I'll say something that's probably profound or mature or whatever, but the clip will be of me like yelling at the guys for asking me too many girl questions, which is not even my personality. Like, I think my biggest clip is me yelling at guys about asking me girl questions. It's not even, it's like, it's that's once in a blue moon that I'm going to get that fired up over a subject. Mm-hmm. You know, normally I'm going to talk about right here, but right here is enough to like do the little bit every day to build up your life in a way that you get to do what you want. You know, like I get to be with you here today, you know, like the reason I came over here is there's a war room event I was supposed to speak at. And I said, okay, I'll fly to London first. I'll do Pearl a few times, you know, do that show, do a few more podcasts on top of that. I think I did like six or seven. Then I went and I spoke in Spain. I did How to Beast with David and his wife. And then I came here and I think I've done five, I'll do five to seven podcasts here. And then I'll go to LA and do two podcasts. And it's just because we did that boring stuff over and over and over again. I don't know. You could do the same thing. You know, you're putting content all the time. Where were you? You were just somewhere really nice.
Portugal.
Yeah, Portugal. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like you get to live this life, but I don't think people understand like what it takes to
really. But it's like the main reason I was there was to shoot a campaign for my clothing brand. And we have all these new products coming out. Right. So let's go and go somewhere really cool.
Right.
So we can do the campaign there. And then at the same time, let's also make a vlog out of it. So it was something interesting for YouTube. And then whilst I was in Prague, my brother's bachelor weekend, turns out there's this really jacked Russian girl with a stunning face who at the moment is literally on the, she's getting like 50,000 new followers a day. Like she's going viral. And I was the first person to do a YouTube video with her, which has just popped up.
I saw her. Like she's like big.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's like, I'm making my work enjoyable and it's like, it's not necessarily a vacation, but I'm getting to do cool stuff and see cool places whilst still doing my work.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely both. People like to, like they want like this fun work. They want to separate it, but really it's almost like when you're eating food, it could just all go to the same place, you know? And I'm like when me and you stop talking, I will grab my phone from Thomas and I will have notifications through the roof and it'll just be, and I'll just be banging them out. And then I'll either go to dinner or I'll go to bed or whatever, but I will do what I want after that because I'm constantly on it. You know, like the real estate that I was calling about, it was a $4 million deal on the way over here. I've been working on the deal for months, just a little bit at a time to get it done. Boom, 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 get it done. And so now, when a guy calls me, he's like, are we good to send the agreement? I'm like, yeah, send it. You know, make sure it says this and this is, they had the down payment wrong by 50 grand. So we fixed that and then it was boom, done, you know? So.
What would you say, should somebody do what they're really good at, but they don't enjoy so much, but they're going to get good money from it? Or should they pursue something which they really enjoy, but might not make as much money?
I think the first one.
Well, they're good at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the one with the money, because you can get really passionate about something if it creates a life that you love, right? Mm-hmm. It's not what you do, but how you do it. You know, nobody grows up and says, I want to do metal buildings when I grow up. Nobody. And then most kids don't grow up saying, I want to own real estate. It's mostly people that don't know what they want to do with their life, or they're not making enough money and they see some infomercial, some guy on a beach that owns a bunch of houses or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I want to do real estate, you know? But the truth is, real estate's not always fun either. You know, people don't want to pay rent. There's a leaking toilet. You know, it's a job. It's not passive, as people say. I think people make the mistake of believing things are passive.
I mean, even I'm at a point now, whereas if I stopped putting the content out, everything would take quite a bit of a hit. So there's always work to be done.
And maybe the work goes way, way, way down, but I don't ever think it's completely passive because you're always on a hook from a risk or a liability standpoint, particularly in construction. Construction runs like a top for me. This is my most active business of all three. Mm-hmm. It's also the smallest income of all three.
Really?
Well, yeah, of course, bro. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars in the other businesses.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll do seven figures plus, but it's not comparative to the real estate and the construction in any way. You know, it's still very new. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have multiple income accounts. You know, you have the YouTube. You have, right now, you know, all I do is War Room and the stuff with Andrew in the real world. And to be honest, I don't ever plan to do anything else, you know? And so unless there's another way that we do something inside those frames, I don't have plans for anything else.
It's just going to dilute what you're already doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really necessarily made a mistake, but there's so many different ideas that I have. Well, oh, I could do this, or maybe I could do this. Like right. I could be running 10 different things if I wanted to, right. But I know that it all just be pretty mediocre because I don't have the resources to be running 10 things. Might as well just narrow it down and just focus on two or three.
There was the story about watering more than one plant at one time, right? Mm-hmm. But if you just water one plant, it'll get big enough to bear fruit. And for me, I let my main businesses bear fruit. And then I take that fruit and either put it into crypto or buy real estate with it or allow myself to travel so I can get top talent to work for my main businesses. Mm-hmm. So,
would you ever bring the construction over here to Dubai? Because I feel like that could be...
I feel like there would be a competitive disadvantage in regards to how Dubai gets its labor.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think I'd be able to compete, but...
But if you wanted to come over here and start building some projects...
As a developer, yeah. Maybe, but I wouldn't be able to be the contractor.
Okay.
Well, it could be the GC, right? But as far as like bringing my men from America over here, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Ah, okay.
Because yeah. Of the way, you know, you see the guys, those guys are making yeah. $200 a month, bro. Mm-hmm. So it just wouldn't work. I got guys that make over that in a day, easy. So it just, the market's different, but yeah, development and even the house I'm building here, you know, DeMac is building a house, but I think it's a really, really good investment. So
it's near Tate's, isn't it?
It's in the lagoons. Yeah. Yeah. It's across from Tate and them. Yeah. It's going to be great. So neighbors.
Have you got any advice for people who maybe they've started a project, a business, and it's not going to plan? It's losing money. And I've imagined you've been in some situations before where things have got sticky and you're like, holy shit. How do you know whether you should pursue with that business or whether you should just give it up, take the hit? Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. And once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, and you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode.
It's not an easy question. I think understanding what model you're in is really, really important. So if you're getting your ass handed to you and you're in a business that is, you eat what you kill, and it's always going to be that way. There's no return on investment of time and effort like real estate would be. So if I find a deal today, I'll buy that deal, right? Maybe that deal doesn't go right, but I know that if that deal would have gone right, it'd have paid me the rest of my life, mm-hmm. You know? And I'm just using that as an example. Then I probably stay in that business, right? But if I'm in a business like construction, let's say, and I'm losing and losing and losing, or I lose, win, but I have to literally go out and hunt, and it's constantly hunting. You have to realize that, especially as a young man, you're going to run out of unicorn blood. It's going to get old at some point. Mm-hmm. So you want to create a return on investment of time. So looking at the vehicle you're in is very, very important. I like vehicles that are going to pay me for my hard work I did today, tomorrow. So if you're not in one of those businesses, I think it's really hard. Like being a personal trainer would be really hard because you have to sell a new client. They got to show up. You got to go through the process. They got to pay you. Construction. You got to sell a new client or you got to sell a new project. You got to make sure that project goes right and you get paid. You could do the same one tomorrow and not pay you. Or you could make money off of it, but it still doesn't pay you in 5 years. So you're constantly hunting. So paying attention to the business model is really important. The second thing, and the quick answer, is look at somebody in your industry 15, 20 years ahead of you. Ask yourself, do you want that life? Mm. Look at their life. You're going to find them. They're going to be around you. They're in your industry. They're probably working right next to you. Do I want this life at his age? What is his life? Is it better? Because if he builds up, let's say he's a financial advisor and he works at Edward Jones or something like that. Like my buddy back in that neighborhood I was telling you about, he's got to book a business that's going to pay him and pay him and pay him and pay him and pay him. Because all that door knocking he did, all those events he went to, all the things he did, you know, to build that business up, he now has. Now, would I want his business? Probably not, only because he can't just up and leave when he wants, you know? But as far as the return on investment of time, he certainly has it. And he's done quite well for himself. And I'm super proud of him. And he has one of those businesses where he's definitely reaping the benefits of what he was doing at 25, 26. So the business model, and then coupled with looking at somebody's life that's 10, 15 years ahead of you and asking you, do you want that life? Mm. That's what would make me pull the plug or stay in said business.
What's the very worst situation that you've been in with one of yours?
I've been down $1 million before.
Really? Fuck.
Bro, I was going to lose it. I had to refinance my house. Mm. And I had all my lines of credit maxed out.
This was in the construction?
Yeah, in the construction. I owned United Rentals $250,000. I could not pay them because I was barely making my payroll. I was playing a credit card game to make payroll every week. I was owed 800 or a million, but I was down $1 million. I lost $1 million in a year.
So how the hell did you keep going? Like, what gave you the faith to think, do you know what? It's going to be okay. I'm going to keep doing it.
I didn't know it was going to be okay. My identity was tied to it. I would have had to admit I failed. I would have had to quit.
Ego thing then.
I don't even know if it was ego. It wasn't like a pride thing. It was like, I can't quit because I burned the boat. Mm. And I think that some people make the mistake of switching careers too early.
Yeah.
Always kind of make a boxing analogy. Let's say you're fighting a traditional fighter and you take the jab and then you eventually slip it. And then, but you take the cross. You might take the cross twice because you're just too dumb to learn your, you know, you're too, you know, you didn't get it. But then you slip and, you know, you miss the cross, right? And then you take the hook and you're like, fuck this, I quit. When you go fight a southpaw, you're about to take his jab and his cross. And you switch enough times, fight a new industry, you're going to take it. You're going to take all these punches. You're going to be punch drunk and you're just going to quit, you know? And so it's a very thin line between quitting and pivoting or quitting and going and doing something else. And that's why I go back to look really, really hard at the business model to make sure you're in a powerful model, because I believe you could take two entrepreneurs and put one in Model A and one in Model B, one Steve Jobs, one lives under a bridge. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because some businesses and some industries are very, very brutal. And you got it. Part of being smart in business is recognizing the model. But then at the same time, once you've made that decision, I do believe in burning the boat and only watering that one plant. It took me 13 years to get my construction company where it is. Well, really 11. You know, the last 2 or 3 years have been really, really autopilot, just straight growth, money machine. And I always wanted real estate. And I owned real estate. I owned a commercial building, two single families, and a duplex. But in the last 5 months, I bought 160 doors. Because I was studying real estate. Like I knew. Like I knew how it worked. And then I had real money to shove into it. Mm. And so my main goal there is, you know, they talk about make money find a way to keep it and then make it grow. And real estate is the OG of the subscription base.
You think it still is?
I do.
Yeah,
I do, especially if you're going to be an American. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you could make money online, of course, but in real estate, I'm getting paid monthly at a profit. I'm depreciating the property against my taxes, not only against that property, but if there's any depreciation left over, I can put it against the income I'm making in the construction business or anywhere else. And the rents are going to constantly go up. And a couple of years, I'm going to refinance out of the interest rate. So my cost of money is going to go down, which is going to make my cash flow even more. And if you play it right with either 1031 exchanges or you pull loans against your equity in the property, you don't have to pay taxes. Like, so I could sell a property, right? But I owe capital gains, which would force me to use a 1031 exchange to buy a bigger property, like property. Or I could just borrow against it and die. They call it the buy, borrow, die method. And then trust it off to my kids where they don't have to pay taxes on it. All legal tax code, things that Trump doesn't want to share, or the norm, like the guys that they're, you know, doing their stuff at a high level don't want to share. But there are major benefits to real estate. It's a real asset. They can't print an apartment building. So for that reason, I think it's a hedge against inflation in a lot of ways. In fact, as the market inflates, so does rents. And so an asset that you own inflates in value, all while getting to depreciate it out. It's a really beautiful thing that they've set up. And a lot of governments do it. If anybody is interested in that, Tom Realwright has a book called Tax-Free Wealth. It's a really, really good book. It's in the Rich Dad group of books, the whole Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki stuff.
Do you feel like it's something you need to have a bit of money behind you for you to go into it?
You could raise it. You could. Or you could start small and build up. I was a guy that would watch Grant Cardone quite a bit, you know, in my early 30s. And I kind of agree with him on the whole, you know, don't buy it unless it's 16 or more. Like the first apartment building we bought was 64 units. The next one was 21. This next one we're buying now is 60. And the one we're buying after that, we have it locked in an agreement, is another 40. So I got to get to counting. Might be more than 160. But the reason I like that, and the reason I believe that, is because I noticed when I was building metal buildings that the smaller buildings were actually harder to make money on, because it's all the startup and the getting the materials and getting checked into the hotel rooms and making sure the guys get acquainted to the panel types, and that we're doing it all the startup meetings and everything. But once they got going, we could really start clipping off some. The bigger the building, the better the profit was. Mm-hmm. And with these single family, like I had single family houses and I had a duplex. Well, it's like, if a person moves out of one of those units in that duplex, I was making, let's say, $300 a month all year. And then I, boom, quickly lose that whole profit. They could be in there all year and move out, and I lose them for 3 months, and all the profit would be gone because I'd be paying the mortgage, and nobody would be paying the mortgage plus a little bit of margin on top of it. But on the 64, if I got five people missing, we're still cash flowing. So in that regard, I do think doing the bigger deal is better. And so for that reason, you'd either have to have your own money or you'd have to raise capital. So I think anybody could do it. It would just take a lot of trust for somebody new to get money from someone and not be yours. And I like putting money in my deals.
Yeah. I think I'm about to start that journey myself, real estate. I wish I'd gotten into it a little bit earlier on and learned more about it, but I guess you're never too late.
Well, the good thing about your situation and what made me feel good about mine is, yeah, I'd bought stuff, you know, like my commercial building's paid off. And I say commercial building, not apartment, because it's a warehouse. I was going to make an office out of it. COVID hit that area of town. I didn't want to put my people there. I'm going to knock the building down, build apartments on it. It's fine. It's in an opportunity zone, so it'll be great. But the reason I'm actually glad I waited, because I could have been buying single families the whole time, right? I got to a place where I was making enough money where I could just throw $1 million on a deal. And that means, what, you can buy a $5 million deal.
How much of the stuff on the Tate Confidential was not actually put onto YouTube? There must be some wild stories.
Bro, there's definitely wild stories, but you know, there's nothing to hide.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to hide. You know, I wish I could tell you like there's this, oh, bro, there's all this stuff that, bro, but they truly are what you see what you get,
mm-hmm.
You know?
I say to a lot of people, particularly, I did one video with Andrew and then everybody's asking me, oh, what's he like? What's he like? And I said, you know what, to be honest, he's just like a more likable, nicer, normal guy off camera.
That's what you get in the long form with Andrew. Yeah. But people don't want to see the long form, do they?
No. I mean, I guess in a way, it was kind of all planned. It was strategic. And if you want to get a lot of followers or you want to make a big impact as quickly as possible, you do have to say some controversial stuff.
Yeah,
that's what's going to get attention.
He definitely knows what he was doing.
Mm.
You know, definitely did. He would have killed it in WWF.
Yeah.
Right? If you would have been like, if you would have been around like when Stone Cold, Steve Austin and stuff like that, and if you would have went that route, you would have killed it, you know? Mm-hmm. He did it on podcast instead. But he also said it with a lot of truth. And I think that you have to say things with truth. It's almost like what makes him funny or makes anybody funny is there has to be a level of truth in the joke.
Yeah.
For it to be funny. And so when he's being polarizing, he might say the truth. He just says it in a way that triggers people, which garners attention, but which also garners a huge fan base, of which I'm one. Like, look, big fan of Andrew. Also love him. You know, he's one of my dearest friends, and I appreciate everything he's done because I think I was going to make a tweet that said this, but I feel like he's flexed on the broke boys so much he saved their lives.
Yeah. You know?
There are a lot of young men that have changed path because of him. And maybe he had to be brash and loud enough for them to hear him.
Mm-hmm.
But if the net result of that is good, then isn't he a hero? Really?
Yeah.
You know? So.
He got me fired up even when I think it was last summer. I was kind of at a point where I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in or what I was doing. I would just listen to some of his podcasts and I would just get fired up. I'd be like, yeah. Right, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Stop being lazy. Stop complaining. Right. Just right. Get the job done.
Yeah, no, it's completely true. And that's another thing about that love thing. Andrew's really big on Iron Mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can give a girl your whole heart if you know and she knows that your mind is so made of steel that you won't call her even if it hurts you. You'll sacrifice mm-hmm. yourself. And if she knows you have that kind of power, she'll won't test it.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome, man. One last question before we finish. Are you happy?
I've never been more happier in my life. Truly. I truly have it all.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it. The friends, the career, the family, the travel, the children. My life is an absolute fucking dream. And sometimes I can't even believe it myself. So, yeah, 100%.
Good answer. Awesome, man. So anyone who's watching this, where can they find you?
Well, when I quit coughing. 3 podcasts in a day. You can find me on Twitter. Waller7J. You can find me on Instagram if they'll quit attacking it.
Yeah, it's been up on and
bro,
off. Last time you were here in Dubai, I was trying to get a hold of you. Your Instagram was gone. Your WhatsApp.
They got my WhatsApp.
I was like, I can't even speak to this guy.
They're messaging me on Telegram. Send me money. Ha ha ha. Fucking nerds. It's Justin, JustinTin, Win, Waller, 7 right now, for now. And on YouTube, Jay Waller.
And I'll put a link to the
all
War
3.
Room.
Yeah.
And the link to the War Room in the description
yeah,
as well.
Cool. Me too. Awesome.